This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
All right, I created the cliffhanger. What was the last line in the film? If you hear it, you may sort of understand what James is referring to, but you have to see the entire film. It doesn't sum it up. It's just an offhand comment. And what was that comment, James?
So we, you know, I think there has to be humor with all of these cases, because if you don't have humor, what do you have? And we had secured an interview with a gentleman who worked at Regina's Hospital. He wanted to remain anonymous. He did share photographs of him in the hospital. He was a radiologist. He took x-rays. And he revealed this very bizarre encounter that he had had one night on duty at the hospital when the military showed up, lots of trucks and jeeps and weapons, and basically took over the hospital and brought in this stinky thing in a black body bag that he had to take x-rays of. He was very serious in his account of what had happened, the fact that they were adamant not for him to ever release or discuss any part of his involvement. And at the end of the interview, I jokingly said, and I was very serious about the way I present every question, and I even did so with this. And I said, do you think that smell that you described would make a good perfume? And it took him a moment, but then he realized I was kidding. And to see him laughing, it was like a moment of levity in a very serious situation. And we all had a jolly good laugh. And I thought, you know, I'm going to put this at the end of the film to end on a high note.
Now, one thing about this film similar to The Phenomenon is that, I guess like they do now in superhero movies, during the closing credits, there is more to the film to watch. I think of that because of the scenes like at the end of Black Adam, where you see Henry Cavill return as Superman for 4 seconds. Or the scene in, what was it, The Avengers, where at the end of the film they're in a Mediterranean restaurant having some food.
You know, what I do when I edit a film, I do edits. I of course, review all the content multiple times, all of it, every second. And then I slice it up and I color code it. And I do pink for good, red, purple is, you have to find a place for this in the movie. I'll put blue for B-roll. I'll put, you know, these different colors corresponding to different scenes or whatever. And at the end, obviously, inevitably, you've got a bunch of scenes that you just couldn't figure out exactly how to squeeze into the movie that would make a very good sort of break in the credits. And so I have a handful of these selects, game selects, I call them, and I sort of splice them into the credits at the end of the film, and I feel it's a nice way to sort of ease out and provide additional information, some of it quite important, sprinkled throughout the credits. And I think it's fun.
Speaking of fun, I know a lot of the people who listen to us make their own films, primarily now on smartphones. They make real films with iPhones, for example. I'm going to ask you, if you used a smartphone as part of this, what kind of equipment did you use to shoot the film and to edit it?
So I shot the film, my DP, a guy I've been working with for quite a while now, David West, he had these new Sonys. We used to shoot with the Canon Mark III and Mark IV. That's what we shot The Phenomenon with. And now he had switched over. It made the jump from the Canons to the Sony cameras, which had also a Steadicam, which was a vest that he wore, and the camera would kind of float, and you could do these more dynamic shots, motion shots. And then we also had a gentleman who had a new iPhone and shot on 4K on a gimbal, and he shot sort of what was probably going to be, for the most part, kind of behind-the-scenes stuff, but also some of that we would put in the professional audio. And quite honestly, very few people could tell the difference. But we did use an iPhone with a gimbal, and then we spliced in professional audio, like high, good, proper audio. And and then did the color correction to make up for the different camera, you know, processing the, what do you call that, the processes to do the color. So we do color correction and try to match them as best we could. And quite honestly, I don't really think most people could tell the difference.
What about editing? What kind of software Adobe or hardware?
I did it on Adobe Premiere. I used to edit on Final Cut Pro. I did 50 Years of Denial, which was my first one in the mid-90s, and that was on a toaster flyer, and then I went to it was a professional studio. It's actually, believe it or not, still alive today, and that was a non-linear editing system, as was the toaster flyer, and it was Avid. And then for Out of the Blue, I used Final Cut Pro, and people were telling me at the time, in the late 90s, you can't make a movie with Final Cut Pro. So I shot some material on a good camera. I processed it through the Final Cut Pro system and my Mac, and then I spat it out, and I brought the tape into a production house, had them put it through a vectorscope and a waveform monitor, and asked them, I didn't tell them where it came from, is this broadcast quality? And they said, absolutely. So then I shot and edited Out of the Blue with Final Cut Pro, and then I did I Know What I Saw, and that was all done with Final Cut Pro. Then I started working on The Phenomenon on Final Cut Pro, and then I got about 2 or 3 years into it, and I tried to get other people to come work with me, and they said, well, what platform are you editing on? I said, Final Cut Pro. They said, Final Cut Pro had gone from 7 to 7 point whatever, and then it eventually jumped to 10, and nobody wanted to edit Final Cut Pro anymore. And they said, if we're going to work with you, we can't work. Final Cut Pro is dead. Everyone's transitioned over to Adobe Premiere. That transition from Final Cut Pro, the project, over to Adobe Premiere took, to get all the bugs out and the system up and running, the better part of a year. And then I edited this Moment of Contact on Adobe Premiere.
Just to backtrack with some of this, when Apple changed the code base completely for Final Cut, they let go some very important features. In other words, they say something has 126 features, say, and they come up with a new version, it has 100. Those 26 features may be required by movie editors. So Apple probably made a foolish decision doing that, but by doing that, it made a lot of people say, we can't use this platform anymore because it doesn't do what we want. Since then, Apple has released many, many free updates from the original software, which include those features. But as you say, a lot of people went to other platforms, and if you're going to use a desktop system, Mac or PC, sure, Adobe Premiere is perfect.
You know, and I loved, you know, Final Cut Pro because the keyboard shortcuts, I mean, I could edit that blindfolded really quickly. I mean, 20 years, you know, it's like, why take something perfectly good that I'm totally proficient at and change the platform altogether? And like you said, I think what they did was they catered to a larger audience and kind of a more prosumer level audience. And by going to the 10, I think a lot of people told me it was more like, what's that basic iMovie, I think it was.
Correct.
A more sophisticated version of iMovie.
It was turned into an application that was iMovie with some professional features. I mean, since then, they've made a lot of changes, and it's a lot more professional now. But this was the original concept.
Yeah, so I stopped working with it. Just because it's, you know... Anyone that I wanted to work with, they were like, we don't edit on this. We can't work with you. So you either have to switch over or you're going to work by yourself on the old version of Final Cut Pro 7. So I switched. And it was a labor-intensive process because the codecs were different. Everything was different. I had to re-import everything, sync it up. Oh, it was a nightmare. And I had all kinds of problems. It was a huge headache.
Sure. Send a bill to Tim Cook at Apple and say, look what you cost me by overhauling the code base for Final Cut.
I'm back.
Right? And don't forget that James Fox will be back for After the Paracast, our premium show. You won't want to miss it. We got James and Gene and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Stock market have you nervous with massive fluctuations? With the impact of inflation and the upcoming midterm elections, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. But with Vantage Point, you won't have to guess. Text MONEY to 813813 to find out how you can forecast market trend changes with up to 87.4% proven accuracy. That's right, 87.4%. Text the word MONEY to 813813 and find the consistency and confidence you've been looking for in your trading. Vantage Point's patented technology analyzes huge quantities of global data in seconds. No more guessing when to get in or out of a trade. Text MONEY to 813813. We'll send you a link to our free live training. Protect your hard-earned capital with Vantage Point.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance. By texting the word DEMO, you agree to the terms available at VantagePointSoftware.com/terms and consent to receive calls and text using automated technology or pre-recorded voice about offers or info by or on behalf of Vantage Point. Your consent is not a condition of purchase and can be revoked at any time. Message and data rates may apply.
Text MONEY to 813813.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com. Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
I'm about to give you a life-changing URL that if you will simply visit it and give these tax consultants a call, it will change your life. Whether you're a blue-collar worker or whether you're a school teacher or whether you're a scientist or whether you're a millionaire, almost no one out there is taking advantage of legal, lawful tax loopholes. Go to gcntaxcut.com. It takes you right to American Tax Solutions, and they will give you an amazing preview of what they can do for you. gcntaxcut.com, gcntaxcut.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
The point being here, of course, with what James says, is that a talented movie maker can take desktop software, desktop-grade hardware, which is pretty darn fast nowadays, and make a real professional, high-quality movie that you could take to the theaters. But you don't need to shoot 8K.
You know, I, for what I do, I actually asked my DP, David West, to not shoot on the highest level of quality his camera was capable of. Just because I thought, well, how high of a resolution do you need to shoot someone's face? And also the processing speed of my Mac just wasn't, you know, a computer is like obsolete after 5 years. You know, the technology is constantly, you know, moving forward. And I was just so happy to keep my old Mac can, I guess they call it the trash can, which I'm probably going to edit my next movie on. But the processing speed slows down, and how high of a resolution ultimately does one need? Everything looked great. For the vast majority of it was shot. The drone stuff was shot in 4K. I think the Sony's were 1080, very high res. In fact, we looked at it on a huge screen in Los Angeles, LA Live Theater, and a massive screen. I was like, oh God, I hope this holds up. And, I mean, one of the biggest screens I've ever seen. It looked like the size of a two-story house. And it looked fantastic on the screen. It was great. It was absolutely no problem at all. So, I don't know. I mean, if I was doing a documentary on the beauty of the Grand Canyon, okay, great. But I'm not. My filmmaking is more sort of gritty, in the field, on the fly. It looks great. Good color correction. I mean, how much resolution, ultimately, at the end of the day, do you really need?
Now, in terms of Macs, Apple's gone to its Apple Silicon, which is the same processor used in your iPhone. And the manufacturers of the key equipment for movie making have brought their software into the new Apple Silicon, which can process Final Cut or even Adobe Premiere many times faster in a computer that maybe costs half as much as your trash can Mac did.
Unbelievable, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
And
My Mac is 8 years old, and it's almost ready for mid-school.
Mine's late 2013, and I'm still using it today. It's one of the fastest ones. I literally walked in, and granted, I bought it in probably 2016, maybe 2017 at the latest, probably 2016. And I walked into the Mac store, and I said, I want the fastest, because I was so tired of, you know, the congestion, the processing speed, and having to wait for the renders. I just couldn't take another day of it. And I walked in, and I had raised some money, and I said, I want to get the fastest computer money can buy at your Mac store. So they all, you know, got on the computer at the Mac store, and we built the fastest computer that money could buy at the time. And it was this can, and I got the most RAM, and I got the most processors, I got the most, you know, video card, whatever, all that stuff. And it was great. It was really great, but it does get a bit congested, particularly when you start adding, believe it or not, lower thirds. And there were lots of lower thirds in this last film because it was shot in Portuguese, and so we had to have subtitles. And that definitely congested the computer. We had to do it in segments because it was painstakingly slow. But for a normal production, one doesn't have to generally use that many. What we would do in the editing room is that we would turn off all the subtitles when we're getting the edits right. And then when we were ready and the edits looked good, we'd turn the subtitles on and then we'd render it out and watch it. And that worked.
Let me tell you something which will shock you. That fastest trash can, that's the Mac Pro, the fastest one compared to the basic Mac Mini today, the Mac Mini would beat it.
Oh, my gosh. I have no doubt. But you know what I love about this thing? And I'm going to do it my next film with it, because I thought if I can eke out one more movie, that would be three movies for this thing, then, hey, I'll be satisfied. What I like about the can is that it's absolutely silent. You don't hear fans, cooling fans. It's so quiet, you don't even know it's on. It uses very little energy, and it takes up very little space, and it works.
Well, the advantage of that is you just have to take a display in a very small computer wherever you want to do your editing. Let's get back to the film itself, and I wanted to ask you a creative question here. Obviously, you've got people speaking Portuguese, and so you have titles. Would it have worked better to have somebody, your translator, speak over what they said and not have to worry about titles?
We had a discussion about that. My distribution company, 1091, was very concerned about that. They said, Americans don't like to read subtitles. And quite honestly, I'm not a big fan of subtitles myself. I always find that the way that subtitles are put in a film, they get kind of lazy about it. They put multiple lines on stacked on top of each other. They just splatter them on the screen, and it quickly goes to the next scene and the next. So I catered the subtitles, particularly for my level of reading, because I'm a slow reader. And I would actually, because I speak fluent French, I speak a little Spanish, and I learned as much Portuguese as I possibly could in the field. And I learned it during the editing process, which is the better part of a year. And I would put the words as they appeared. So a word would come out of their mouths, and I would put that on the screen. And for the most part, I try to just do one line. Very rarely did I do two lines. And I catered the subtitles to my level of reading. And the reason why I opted to do that in lieu of putting someone else's voice, is that I just thought it takes away from, it's one step further away from the actual eyewitness. And it separates you to hear the fluctuation, the tone, and that felt like it would, I don't say weaken the testimony a little bit. I wanted to hear directly as much as possible, directly from the eyewitnesses. So I pushed hard for the subtitles and not having, voiceover, I guess.
Well, with translation also, I kind of would agree with you. You can turn your head away from the film and listen to the voice. But here, with titles, you've got to look at the screen constantly.
Absolutely.
And then you see the emotion, not just in their voice, but in their look, to see how they reacted to all the crazy things happening around them.
You know, I don't generally read reviews because sometimes it can be a bit critical and a bit harsh. But I have been reading some of the reviews. And I've only heard one comment about the subtitles out of thousands. So I think at the end of the day, the subtitles worked.
And as you say, it's a word, it's a sentence. It's done in a way that if you just look at the screen, it won't bypass you. It won't be like four lines that you have to figure out. And that kind of detracts from the enjoyment of the film. We're going to get into more of this about this particular case in Virginia. How it stands against other UFO cases, and maybe what James is working on, and so much more material. I'm happy to have him for the full show and also after the Paracast to get into all this stuff. James Fox, Gene Steinberg, Tim Swartz are in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA Radio News.
Former President Donald Trump reacted to the special counsel appointed to oversee the Justice Department investigation into classified documents recovered from Mar-a-Lago Friday night. He referred to veteran prosecutor Jack Smith as left-wing and the Justice Department as politically weaponized. There's still a long way to go in Buffalo before the city is completely dug out from a lake-effect snowstorm that has dumped several feet onto the city, as well as the western New York region. At least another foot is expected overnight. British Prime Minister Rishi Sunak is pledging more military aid to Ukraine. He announced that the UK will send air defenses, advanced training, and humanitarian aid. Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito issued a statement denying that he leaked the Burwell v. Hobby Lobby decision after a New York Times report that a leak occurred. The ruling allowed for-profit companies to deny contraception coverage based on religious objections. This is USA Radio News.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
This is Micah Hanks of the Gray Alien Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
The film is Moment of Contact, and what gives it a touch of class is not just having James speak in the film, but Peter Coyote. Is Peter Coyote interested in UFOs? Because he's in many of the films.
Very. You know, I don't think Peter would have done this film, because I'm kind of pushing the envelope a little bit. I mean, look, like, you gotta acknowledge that this falls into the category of extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. I myself, as someone who's done 6 documentaries on the topic of UFOs, and I'm counting 2 parts Out of the Blue, because I completely revised a second version of Out of the Blue called The Director's Cut, and I did not believe this case. So I completely understand the reluctance, the skeptic's point of view of the likelihood of an event like this having actually occurred. I don't think Peter Coyote would have done this for anybody else. He knows that I don't make any outlandish claims. He knows that I can generally back up our position with compelling eyewitness testimony. And he went out on a limb for this one. And I remember when we were in the studio, he was like, you know, he actually used a word that I won't repeat on this, on your show, but he was like, ah, this is Jesus. Did this, what? These live beings? I got to see this one. You know, he was really like just gobsmacked by the story, you know, and it is, it's out there. In fact, I recently communicated with some people on the inside of the government, and I said, hello, I'm feeling awfully alone out here. You know, James Fox putting his credibility on the line with a rather crazy story of a crash and live beings captured in the town of Virginia in 1996. Am I going to get any backup here anytime soon? You know, so it was kind of funny. But I feel strongly about it. I feel like the film, the eyewitness accounts speak for themselves. carry the film well. And we try not to make any definitive, you know, statements on what it was or what it wasn't, and put the evidence on the table and allow the audience to, you know, make up their own minds. And would I like to have featured a photograph or a bit of videotaped evidence of the creature? You damn right I would. Did I bend over backwards to obtain it? You damn right I did. Did we get close to securing some of that? We did. I ultimately opted to put the film out. I put the interests of the case ahead of my own personal ego and thought, I think this would encourage further eyewitnesses to come forward and hopefully, ultimately, someone on the inside to release this evidence.
That's one of the hopes we've had about Roswell. If Roswell was what it was purported to be, a possible crash of a spaceship, maybe or maybe not, creatures were seen. We never get past the crash itself with whatever details. We can say what possibly went here, and that's the end of it. It disappears for 30 years. We have imperfect memories plus people trying to get in on the act. Now we have something here that is 26 years old. See, I can add folks at my age, and, you know, some people can't add up my age, but 26 years ago this happened. Most witnesses are still alive. There's still various degrees of concurrent testimony then, but the whistleblower, wouldn't that be wonderful?
Well, we got pretty close with Military X. I mean, he was a Brazilian, you know, military insider who was reportedly involved with the transportation of this creature. His testimony is riveting. I've never heard anything like it. But again, you know, obviously having that bit of videotaped evidence, photographic evidence, would be a major boon for the case. Have I given up on it? No, I haven't. And it's still all hands on deck. In fact, we're working on it 24/7. There are new leads constantly servicing. We just had some more contact with potential leads a couple of days ago. We had a screening in Varginha, Brazil that the mayor attended. There were a lot of people that were directly involved with the case that were there. And we're going to follow those leads and see where it takes us.
Now, was there anybody that you were trying to find witnesses to this event that were reluctant to come in front of the camera and tell about their story?
All of them.
and why? Why?
You know, if you look at the credits of the film, I asked that very question. Why is it? What was it that the Brazilian government instilled the fear of death in these witnesses that 26 years later, they're still terrified? And we dangled a very large cash reward, a very large, significant cash reward for this said evidence. They were terrified to come forward with simply their own personal eyewitness testimony. Now imagine the threats that they received back then as being simply an eyewitness. Imagine an eyewitness coupled with videotaped evidence that they may be in possession of, how scared they would be. Because that's the holy grail. That's what it's about. You know, I remind your audience too that, you know, even if we did have, and never say never, but videotaped evidence of this creature, I mean, there'd be a lot of people that still wouldn't believe it. I mean, there's special effects people that can create things these days that, maybe that itself wouldn't hold weight. The number one objective for us would be a Brazilian military witness to come forward that has the credentials with the videotaped evidence, not anonymously, but to come forward and share their identity and their participation and photographic evidence. That would be our number one choice for how it's released. But we'll take what we can get. If someone wants to do it anonymously, we can do that too. But it would be met with a high level of skepticism because suddenly you've got alleged videotaped evidence of something with no person behind it, the person remaining anonymous. And that would be probably widely unaccepted, I would guess, because it's one thing to have an unknown object in the sky. It's something entirely different to have videotaped evidence of beings on the ground. That's a big step.
With films like yours, it always impresses me when you have the witnesses. And like with this incident, you know, the girls who 26 years later still tell the same story. When if it had been a hoax, if they had, you know, seen, like some people had said, you know, like the town drunk, that sort of thing, you know, but at this point they'd be like, yeah, well, it's not exactly how we originally said it was, yet the story remains the same.
Yeah, and they stick to it, and their story has not changed at all. I don't know about you guys. I'm assuming that both of you watched the film. I believe those girls. I absolutely, unequivocally, beyond a shadow of doubt, believe that those girls came within 8 to 10 feet of some strange creature.
Actually, I watched the film just before we did this. I wanted to have it fresh in my mind. Unfortunately, they did not send a screener to Tim, but Tim has written about the case, so he's familiar with the basics.
Yeah, Tim, you are?
Yes, yeah. Oh,
I'm sorry, Tim. I'm sorry you didn't get a screener, but, you know, I wouldn't have put any of the witnesses on camera if I didn't believe them. The one thing that I would like more of, and I'm hoping this will come, I mean, this is an ongoing story. This is a developing story. There are, I'm fortunately triggering, thank God, I'm triggering further people coming forward. We've had a couple of additional witnesses come forward in the recent weeks. I'm hoping that more will come forward. I've had interest in the mainstream media to dig a little further with FOIA requests. That's starting to happen now.
Let's do our break right now. We have James and Tim and Gene, you're in.
The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on this special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
I need a tax preparer. How should I choose one?
Using a paid tax preparer this year? Before paying someone to do your taxes, make sure they're qualified. Ask about their fees, experience, and training. Check with a Better Business Bureau. Avoid anyone who promises a higher refund. And review your tax return before you sign it. And make sure your preparer signs it too. For more tips, visit irs.gov and search Choosing a Preparer.
Hi, I'm your host, Smokey Colbert, filling in for Smokey, because after 75 years of...
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Turns out there's much more to say. Nearly 90% of wildfires are caused by us humans being careless, dumping our used barbecue coals willy-nilly. Guess the song was wrong. We did start the fire. That's why I respect Mother Nature and her trees, whether coniferous or new car scented. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Honestly, this stuff works. Nick, easy to take capsules. For those who can't handle the liquid drops, easy to take Extendivite capsules do the same job. Karoka Fam, works great. Like Extendivite very much. Seems to work as advertised. Thanks. Arlene, 5 stars. Love this product, Extendivite. Terry W., 5 stars. Can't say enough. Great product. Freya, 5 stars. I just ordered another. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
So you have mainstream media interests. I'm going to ask you one thing, too, as we continue with discussions of Moment of Contact. The path from Brazil to the rumored or the story of this stuff going to the U.S. for investigation. Can we focus on that, too? So how has the mainstream media become interested since this film came out?
Well, I can't reveal who they are, but I've been contacted. Some of them showed up at the premiere in New York. Some of them showed up at the premiere in Los Angeles. And they said that we are, just so you know, behind the scenes, we are very interested in this developing story. We are doing our own research. We're reaching out to people, new people that are coming forward. We're putting in FOIA requests. They felt that it was compelling enough to merit, some additional digging. So that's an ongoing process. So I'm very encouraged to hear that, obviously, because, you know, I could use the help. And we'll see what happens, you know. We haven't had, the film's only been out for a couple of weeks. Already I'm getting some additional participation from people behind the scenes. And I'm sure, I have no doubt, that there will be additional eyewitness testimony, both American involvement and Brazilian involvement. And in fact, it's already happened in Brazil. I'm feeling optimistic that the additional stuff will take place in the United States in the coming months.
What do we know now, if anything, about possible involvement by American authorities?
One of the new aspects of this story that we just found out on our last trip to Brazil, we were very fortunate to interview a flight control officer in Brazil. So people in Brazil, like whether it's police or firemen or flight control officers, they're part of the military. And so we met with a gentleman, he's in the movie, that claimed that a United States Air Force plane flew in on, I believe it was January 20th, and it flew in without an OM. I think it's A-O-E-M or A-E-M, A-O-E-M, O-M. It's basically approval, authorization from the Brazilian government on a flight. Anything incoming from outside the country of Brazil needs to have authorization. This United States Air Force plane, according to the witness, flew in without this authorization. Just when he was, the control officer was, he couldn't grant access, Brazilian military entered the room and said, allow them to land. And this plane initially was designated to land in Sao Paulo, landed in Campinas. Now we have testimony from Brazilian military that he transported the alleged creature from Varginha to as a military base, SPSX military base in Campinas. And then you have testimony from a flight control officer that sees a United States Air Force plane land unauthorized by the Brazilian government into Campinas on the very day that those beings were transported there. So that's pretty compelling evidence. Obviously, we would love a paper trail. We are literally starting the process as of this week into FOIA requests to find out about this so-called United States Air Force plane. Where did it go once it left the United States? They landed in Campinas. Two helicopters got authorization to go from Campinas to Virginia, and then from Virginia back to Campinas. Campinas, they loaded up whatever it was that they got onto this United States Air Force plane, and then poof, back to the United States. But we don't know where it landed in the United States or what happened to whatever it was that they had on board.
What about the reports that the United States informed the Brazilian authorities that there was something unknown getting ready to enter their airspace?
So I'd gotten informed from some Brazilian people that wished to remain anonymous. I was still reluctant to put that aspect of the film in, allegation into the movie. I sent it to some government insiders here in the United States. They watched it. They, I guess, tacitly approved it. And I made the call based on my feeling with it, level of comfort to leave that aspect in. I felt there was enough compelling testimony. Unfortunately, it was anonymous to leave it in, that it was accurate.
Well, none of this really should come to any surprise. You know, it seems like in past, UFO incidents in Brazil, the United States has ended up being involved, at least, you know, according to reports.
Yeah, it's amazing. Like, you know, you've got this ATIP program that was, you know, featured on the front page, exposed on the front page of the New York Times back in late 2017. And I remember thinking to myself, obviously it was great news. I was in the middle of production with the phenomenon, and it catapulted the whole issue onto the front page of the New York Times, which is a major boon to my production. Of course, we had to go back in and cover that whole aspect of the story, which was great, into the phenomenon, which brought it current. But I said to myself, it comes to no surprise when I'm hearing all these accounts all around the world of U.S. involvement. So clearly there was never a termination of investigations into the phenomenon from the termination of Project Blue Book. Things continued. I mean, anytime you've got unknown objects whizzing around with impunity, clearly someone is going to investigate it. We just didn't know who that someone was. And I think there's a lot more than just ATIP. You know, there are other programs I'm sure of. I don't know who they are or where they come from or what organization they're associated with, but they exist. And it's been ongoing since the termination of Blue Book in 1969.
All right. This is a good point to bring in a question from one of our listeners. This is from Richard Hawkins. And Richard wants to know your opinion on the American government seemingly backtracking and saying that they can now identify most of the recent UAPs.
I saw that. I saw one of the New York Times articles on that, and I was just, you know, I go back to my response to that is, yes, the vast majority of UFO reports can and have been explained away in down-to-earth physics terms. I say, like, you know, 90%, 85%. It's that core 10 or 15% that truly appear to defy, after exhaustive investigations, a terrestrial explanation or a conventional explanation. So it's just more obfuscation as far as I'm concerned, and I was pretty disappointed with that because they're focusing on the stuff that clearly can be. There was no mention at all of what David Fravor saw and what all those other pilots saw and what they captured on their, you know, cockpit recorders and captured on radar and saw visually. There's no explanation of that. So the cases that truly clearly defy a conventional explanation, they're just avoiding as much as they can.
I'm wondering this. Go ahead, Tim. I'll pick up something later. Go ahead.
I think, though, for a lot of people, all they have to do is just read. Air Force says that most UFO reports, UIP reports, are Chinese drones. And that'll be enough for them. They'll be like, oh, Chinese drones. Yeah, Kenneth Arnold, 1947, Chinese drones. Everything's Chinese drones. And that'll be it. You know, it's the problem solved.
You know, here's another thing that gets my goat a little bit. You've got the United States Air Force from 47 to 69. They had the scientific advisor, Dr. Jalen Hynek, who categorized UFO reports into three categories at the time. Close encounters of the first kind, where someone reports a UFO. Close encounters of the second kind, when someone reports a UFO and this UFO interacts with the environment, whether it leaves burnt marks on the ground or impressions on the ground, photographed or picked up on radar, or burns someone's face, getting within a certain proximity of it. And then you've got close encounters of the third kind, and that's where you have witnesses claiming to see occupants, beings associated with the craft. They've avoided talking about close encounters of the third kind, even though the Air Force, part of Project Blue Book, documented some of these cases and still could not explain them, and they acknowledged them and they documented themselves. There's been no discussion whatsoever of close encounters of the third kind that I know of since the ATIP program was plotted on the front page of the New York Times in 2017.
Let us do our break here, and we'll continue with James Fox and Gene Steinberg and Tim Schwartz. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for Life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for Life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422. Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for Life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for Life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.